Ruth chapter 4. Isaac was lawfully wed to Rebekah, and she was barren. She was a mother without child. And he entreated the Lord to bring fruit through my bride. And the Lord did. Now those two children, one of them, Rebekah loved. She nursed that child. She bounced that child on her knee. And the Lord blessed it. And blessed us through him as has he. I hope we can see that this evening. Aaron Ruth chapter 4. How my message is fruit of the bride. Begin in verse 13. Ruth 4:13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and she began to nurse it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And from David we get Christ our kinsman redeemer. That same lineage. Now in our text here, we've been looking through the book of Ruth, we see Boaz as the husband. And we see Ruth, that's the bride. His bride. And we also say Naomi, the mother. Christ is our husband. He's our kinsman redeemer. And each individual believer, individually, we make up his bride. You are the bride of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. And then collectively, all of us together, the church is described in scriptures as the mother to whom Christ produces and cares for God's children. Let's look first at that husband. We see there in verse 13, So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. That's easy to read over, isn't it? Easy to look through. But before those judges, at that gate, Boaz dealt lawfully with that nearer kinsman, the one that had first claim on Ruth. By law, he had first claim to Naomi and to Ruth. The nearer kinsman was, as it were, that lawful husband had the first right. By our fallen Adam, the law had first claim on us to condemn us, to curse us, according to the righteous judgment of God. Paul describes the law as our first husband. We'll see here later on in Romans 7. But because Boaz dealt with the law for Ruth and settled this matter in righteousness, righteously. Now he lawfully took Ruth to be his wife. That law has already been dealt with, and he said, Now we'll be wed. Before the judgment seat of God, Christ lawfully fulfilled the law, upholding God's righteousness and justifying his people from our sins. So now Christ lawfully taking each member of his bride to be his lawfully wedded bride. We use these terms and don't hardly know what they mean, do they? It's our lawfully wedded bride, done in righteousness, done under the law, through regeneration and in faith. He weds to us. Now, I point this out because there's many who teach that if you're God's elect, then you can be saved apart from ever hearing this gospel. You can be saved apart from ever believing on Christ, that you're His and you'll never know Him. But the Scriptures say, all who Christ saves shall be born again. By the Spirit of God. We're to be made holy by the sanctification of the Spirit, and we're given faith in Christ. Our Master said that in John 3. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto ye, ye must be born again." It has to happen. Hebrews 12 says, "All His people must be sanctified by Christ, so that we have that holiness which without no man shall see the Lord." We must be born again. We must be made holy. It says in Hebrews 11, "But without faith it's impossible to please God." We must be given faith to please Him. Be born again. Be made holy. Be given faith. Now the very reason that Boaz went before that judgment seat and that gate on Ruth's behalf was so that he could lawfully marry her and bring forth children. That was the very purpose for which he dealt with that law, with that near kinsman. And just the same, Christ went to the cross and dealt with the law for His people so that He could lawfully send the Spirit to us and give us life in Him and make us to bear fruit by Him. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of texts here, and just notice the word "that" in the following scriptures. It tells us why Christ died for His people, why He went to that gate at Calvary. Galatians 3, verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That, for this reason, so," He went to that tree and hung on it, "so the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now look over a page there in Galatians 4. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That, for this cause, He did all this so we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That life happened. That birth happened, didn't it? You can turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's the purpose of it, His glory. So as Boaz took Ruth to be his wife, now all who are born of the Spirit are lawfully Christ's bride and now truly bear fruit by His working in us. I'll turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, verse 1. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that, for this cause, ye should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." That's the purpose. That's why He did it. Bring forth fruit in His children. Christ dealt with the law we were under, our nearer kinsman. He addressed it. And in satisfying that law, He gave us the blessing of Abraham. He gave us the adoption of sons. He gave us Himself. That we should no longer be bound and married to that law of death, but we're married and we're bound to Christ, the one who purchased us, the one who freed us, and He freed His beloved bride in Himself. Now, do you think Boaz would have just let Ruth wander off? Do you think he'd have went to that gate and he'd have dealt with that near kinsman and took his shoe? He said, "You can't walk in your shoe, I'll walk in it. I'll complete everything for him." Gave her his name, everything that he had, and said, "Well, now if you'd like, you can come stay in my house." Now, he wed her, didn't he? He took her as his wife. Christ didn't purchase his bride, deal with that law on our behalf, provide all things needed at the cost of his blood. It wasn't just money we was looking at. His blood, his life, only to offer eternal salvation to his church at our choosing. He was betrothed to his bride before time. He wed his bride at Calvary, and he produces children through his bride until that last child is born. And the whole church as a whole is called to be with him in glory. He wed her. He took her as his wife. Now back to our text there in Ruth 4. We've seen the husband, what Boaz accomplished at that gate. It's just like what Christ accomplished at that cross. And now we see who this was accomplished in. Ruth, the wife. This is each individual believer that Christ has revealed himself in. There in Ruth 4, verse 13. "And he went in to her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son." Ruth was a stranger in Israel. She was a poor mercy beggar with nothing to commend her to Boaz. Nothing appealing to her. But he took notice of her. And now, by Boaz's grace, she is his wife, and all that Boaz possesses, everything he owns, is hers. That's the story of every true believer saved by God's grace. We were strangers, but God chose us. We were poor and had nothing to commend us to God, but Christ took notice of us. We were bound to the law. Christ redeemed us by His precious blood. We were spiritually dead, but God quickened us together with Christ by that Holy Spirit. And now we possess all that God and His Christ possess. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. While you turn there, Paul told us in Romans 8:17, he said, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." I cannot imagine how I could be glorified with Christ. Together with Him. Our minds can't enter into that. But the glory is not in the bride. It's in the husband. It's in the one who gave us His name. We don't glory in ourselves, but we glory in our Savior that we're made one with. Now there in 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Joint heirs. A bride and a husband. If need be, if it's for our good and it's for the Lord's glory, God sends us all sorts of trials in this world. We may lose all our money. We may lose our jobs. We may lose our loved ones. But He does it that He might teach us not to glory in men, not to glory in things of this earth, and to cease from trusting man. He teaches us that Christ is our kinsman. That's our husband. And all things are yours. No need to worry. Ain't nothing to worry about. No need to fret. No need to be anxious. Your Father knows you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these other things will be added to you. Look to your husband. He'll feed you. He'll provide for you. He'll give you everything he has. David told us in Psalm 113, He raiseth the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with princes of His people. Lord Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, wed His bride in righteousness, still honoring the law, glorifying the Father, and He has given to us His name, making us joint heirs of His merit. So through Boaz, the Lord produced fruit in Ruth. Through Christ, the Lord produces fruit in us. We can produce no fruit of ourselves. We had no spiritual lives, only death in ourselves. We had no faith, only unbelief. We had only enmity, no love. No good works, only sinful, wicked, filthy rags was all we were. Paul told us in Romans 7, says, For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. All the fruit we can produce is deadly. Eternally deadly. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. And we're starting to see that a child of God produces fruit of the Spirit, and it's not us doing it. It's His doing it. It's not as simple as just looking to somebody and saying, Well, now go do some good things. You're a member of the church now. We stuck you in some water. You said a prayer. You ate a cracker and some wine. Now go do some good stuff. There's a work that takes place. That law had to be satisfied for there to be fruit, for that wedding to be legitimate. Blood at Calvary had to be spilled for that fruit to be produced in that bride. All spiritual fruit is produced in His bride through Christ our husband. He produces the fruit. Psalm 113 says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Any spiritual fruit we have, any spiritual offspring, if I get up and preach, and the Lord uses my feeble mouth through His solid word to bring forth life in somebody, to quicken someone's spirit, what boasting do I have? I didn't do that. It's His reward. His reward. We remember reading there in Ruth 1 about Naomi's daughter-in-law, the other one, Orpah. And it's incredibly sad to see that nothing else was said of Orpah. She was mentioned briefly and then gone. She went back to that cursed land of Moab and she sought a husband and she looked for rest and comfort in that land of Moab. And not another word was spoken of her. But Ruth, in her we see a person that forsakes all for Christ and shall find more than all in Him. That's where she found everything. Luke 18 says, Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting? Spiritually we seek Him. That's what you have in store. Life everlasting in Him. Christ our husband. Turn over to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Look here in verse 1. Isaiah 54, 1. Saying, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Does that sound right to you? Does that make sense? How could the one that has been barren bring forth more children than a married wife? Spiritually, the children produce those that cannot produce any fruit of themselves will be much greater. Those that say, I'm barren, I can't do anything, the Lord will increase that. Not those that works their own hands, try to produce their own fruit, won't be anything. The fruit is produced by the Lord and those that can't do it themselves. Now back to our text here in Ruth 4. Our husband that lawfully redeemed us out of our poverty effectually produces children through his bride. And those children are nurtured through the mother. And we see Naomi, the mother. It's a picture of the church. There in verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And God's true church is blessed of the Lord. He hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He hasn't left us. He sent his only begotten son to be our kinsman redeemer. And we are the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, the price paid for redemption. God did so that his name might be famous in Israel. God's name is famous in his namesake, the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon, the son of David, was a picture of Christ, the Son of God. And God said to Samuel what he says of Christ, his son. He says, He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. There in Malachi 1:11 says, From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. To the church of God, our kinsman redeemer, Christ, is a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine own old age. God tells us there in Isaiah 46, says, Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. You have not put all your trust in Christ. Will you listen to the Lord's word? Will you hearken unto him? Don't be like we all were at first. Don't be like Naomi. And we're here in this house of God's bread. And we say, oh, there's a famine. We make the awful mistake of going to where we think abundance is. We go down to cursed Moab. So Naomi sought to nourish her own life by her own hand in the world. But God would not take no for an answer. She was his. And he stripped her of everything. And he brought her to see that he shall be a nourisher of thy life. That's what happened to every believer here. So hearken to God's word and believe on Christ. He shall be a nourisher of thy life, even to thy old age. He'll bring you. He'll nourish you. He'll feed you. By God's grace and provision, Christ uses the church of God as a mother to take care of every child that God produces, like Naomi takes care of Boaz's child. And it says there, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. Christ promises his church, our children shall be safe and that Christ shall use us to bless His children through the gospel delivered by His church, His Jerusalem. Turn over there to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. I'll read Isaiah 49 for you. It said, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. He said, I'm going to fight your battles for you, and I'm going to save your children. And Isaiah 54 says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Who's going to teach those children? The Lord's going to teach them. And great shall be the peace of thy children. If you're taught of him, you have peace. And there in Isaiah 66, look at verse 11. That you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. You're going to be bounced on her knee. You're going to be pacified, comforted, loved, fed. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I hope I never take pride in comforting a brother or sister that's in a fault, that's in a trial, that's hurting. Oh, look at that. Look at what a good I did. I really helped him that day. The Lord said, so will I comfort you. That's how He comforts His children. Now, the bonds of love from God to His church are stronger than natural bonds, than what we have in this physical world. Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And in His church, among His saints, the child of God finds fathers and mothers. Closer than blood fathers and mothers many times. We find sisters and brothers. We find sons and daughters. We're a family. We're the family of God. And that's a bond that's eternal in Christ. That's why it's so sweet. That's why it's so precious. I may have physical kin. I may have blood relatives in this world that I'll never see after I close my eyes for the final time. You all are my family. We ought to get along. We'll be together for eternity, ain't we? The Lord's going to keep us. Why would He do that? Why would He be so generous to us that He comes to His bride? He puts life in her. Gives her life. Quickens her. Produces life through her. Through the preaching of His Word, He draws His children out in this world. And in that mother, here comes Naomi. Comforts her children, His children. Gives that sweet milk of the Word, gentle with it. Bounces it on her knee. Comforts it when it cries. Well, and it makes us so bound close as family. Brothers and sisters, we'd die for. I'd give my life for you. And we have that joy of knowing that this family is eternal. Is that just for me? Is that just for you? Now, that'd be a great reward, isn't it? That's a great benefit. Something far greater than my benefit, than my good. It's for His glory. It's for the sake of Christ. Everything declared here is certain because everything God does for His people is for the sake of Christ, for His name's sake. We've seen all that God did for Naomi and Ruth. The ultimate reason God did this was for Christ. It was because God determined Christ would be born through Boaz and Ruth, of Obed, of Jesse, of David, of that house of David. We see that in that genealogy listed there in verses 18 through 22. We see it in Matthew 1. And you know, we was talking about that this morning. You read through the genealogies in Genesis, and here in Ruth, and there in the beginning of Matthew. The Pharisees, they were sticklers on that. They kept good records. They want to know where everybody was born. Which house are you from? Not once did they say, you're not David's. They attacked him on everything. What he ate, what he drank, who he sat with. Not once did they say, you're not that line of the tribe of Judah. They knew that's where he was from. The Lord used that on purpose. Each one of those named were called and kept by God for Christ's sake. You think anything could have happened to Ruth? You think Obed would have fell in a well? Lord purposed that through his lineage, that's where Christ would come. That's where our kinsman redeemer would come from. It's sure. It's certain. So it is with every single child of God. We are chosen, we're redeemed, we're regenerated, preserved, and we're blessed, all for Christ's sake, for His glory. That's why we take comfort in knowing that all the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen, unto the glory of God. It's all yes and amen unto His glory. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There in Ephesians 4:32. For His sake. For His name's sake. We saw Boaz going to that gate to honor the law. Looked at before. That's for the Lord's holiness. To honor His holy name. And for His name's sake. For His Son's sake. And for His glory. We're preserved. We're given fruit. And He'll keep it forever for His name's sake. Isn't that for our good? Anything for His name is for our good. That's when the Lord starts teaching you something, you stop looking, what's in it for me? Everything. Everything's in it for you because it's for His name. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.